Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
We're here with some delicious Elf of Light content as we continue our read through. And we talked about this off mic, off camera, where people can't see us, because I know you can all see us normally on the podcast.
With our matching onesies and my hood up.
Yes. I can't imagine, as an aside, doing like a video podcast and putting this up on YouTube as well. That sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
You need like lighting and a good backdrop.
I mean, you do have the fun Daryl Young prints behind us.
True. But that's like, it's hard enough for me to edit one episode.
True.
In an audio format. On my 2008 MacBook, so.
And
it's the equivalent of like the car you used to have to crank the front to get up and running. It's a jalopy. Like, that jalopy gets up and running once every couple weeks and I edit in batches.
Oh. And we can always just say, hey, Daryl Young has some really cool prints, or Anna Maria Cool has some really cool art. You should do a commission through her.
You really should.
Because that's the backdrop that would be at my place. Is yes. Her art.
Yes. And C2E2 coming up quickly. Less than a month.
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope that there will be a drop of Star Trek guests.
There are no announced Star Trek guests from any of the series, which is mind-blowing to me. Like, C2E2 is a huge con. And
where's the track?
And Paramount, like, I haven't read the Variety article yet. There's a cover story in Variety, which, by the way, I went to Barnes & Noble to try to get a physical copy of Variety. They don't carry it.
Really?
And it's one of the largest, like, entertainment trade magazines out there.
Yeah.
Variety, not sold at Barnes & Noble in Minnesota.
Weird.
It sucked. So I have to read that article online. I was trying to avoid it because it looks like a very long article.
About what?
Star Trek.
Oh, just in general about it.
Yes, I sent you the article. Did you not read it either?
No.
Okay, then. Anyway, Paramount has a bunch of series out right now, like Strange New Worlds, ending its series in like 5 days, like the last season premieres.
You mean Disco?
That's what I meant. What did I say?
Strange New Worlds.
Oh, no. Strange New Worlds. Please go on forever. Discovery ending.
But that's like getting attention as the show that reinvigorated the Star Trek franchise.
Yes.
Which gave us Strange New Worlds.
Yes. Lower Decks. Lower Decks is probably going to come out late summer like it always does.
I hope so, because it's so fun.
And they really... I don't think they'll do it this year. The past couple years, they've had that chunk of the year where it's like from mid-spring through late fall, there is a new Trek on every single week.
I wonder if they could do that with Disco and then Lower Decks and then Strange New Worlds. But still, it's also like only 30 weeks because the seasons are so short.
Yeah.
And what you were saying earlier about how there hasn't been a Star Trek series season 5 since 1999.
Yeah.
Which, cool, fair, but also this would be in the middle of season 2 if Disco was a regular, like, 26 episode season.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they've had longer. It'd be like the beginning of season 3 because they've had longer seasons.
Okay.
Because they're like 12 episodes.
Maybe the first two were.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, but C2E2, of the lack of Star Trek representation and Star Wars, like, there's, I don't think Mads, there's...
What's his face from Rogue One?
Oh, yes, Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of...
Also from Rihanna's Bitch Better Have My Money.
Oh.
He's in that music video.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he dies.
Oh. Is it like a Casino Royale type of thing?
Like, she throws him in a trunk and, like, beats the shit out of him and things.
Oh.
It's very fun.
But they have Star Trek and Star Wars comics, artists and writers and things. Like, there's people who worked on Mirror War comics and some of the covers for this more recent run. So we have those listed in our like stuff to bring to get signed.
Yeah, I mean, James Tynion is going to be there from Dracula Comics.
And Martin Simmons,
who did
the art.
Well, I pulled for James Tynion because he wrote exactly one issue of X-Men, and it's Amazing X-Men, number 13. And I have the variant cover as well.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, because our local comic book store had it for like 75% off.
Nice. Shout out to Comic Book College for being awesome.
Yes. So I have those pulled to get him to sign, which he probably doesn't sign many of those.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
But how much would we pop for Nana Visitor?
I know, like any Star Trek on-screen talent, it's odd. Like, do they not think that it's that much of a pull? I mean, there's a whole convention. There's Farpoint Convention that's built around Star Trek. Like,
and that Denise Crosby has been to and Gates McFadden has been to would also pop
usually
for them as well.
It's just a very odd decision on who they're booking. Like, they released the panels and everything as well. So, what am I trying to say? There's no big Marvel panel. So I used to live in Chicago and go to C2E2. And I remember there was one panel, like, had to be 9 years ago at this point, where they announced, like, here's everything coming out in the fall. Like, is their big moment to announce a bunch of stuff? And Chip Zdarsky, who's going to be there, but that's when he is announcing, like, Howard the Duck.
Oh.
And things like that.
Howardy ducks.
And it's just really odd that Marvel doesn't have a big panel. As I looked through all the offerings, and I'm like, we're only there for a Saturday, and there's a lot to cram in because it's a huge space. You've never been there, but
no.
McCormick Place is huge. Like, it's the type of con where you just find a piece of floor at some point so you can sit and rest.
Oh.
So, especially since the three of us who are going together are all in our upper 30s, like, I will be wearing my knee brace that day.
Oh.
I'll have some ibuprofen in my bag for all of us.
Oh, good.
It's just very interesting to see what they're focusing the guests on. Like, there's a One Tree Hill reunion.
Unexpected.
Have people been clamoring for this?
Rachel Lee Cook and Freddie Prinze Jr. will be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would also love to see Svengoolie. So hopefully, like...
There have to be more announcements because Svengoolie hasn't been announced yet. And he's local to Chicago.
Right. And he deserves an announcement.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it since this... 79?
Yeah.
Like, hosting a weekly horror movie thing with all sorts of fun skits and all the information about the actors and series and stuff like that. Like, he needs to be there.
Yeah.
He's been there in the past.
So, anyway, if you're going to be at C2E2, let us know. We'd love to see you and meet up. On that Saturday, I have to make my jumper that I have the pattern cut out for. Now I need to cut out the fabric and sew it all together.
Should I be Iceman again?
You could. Yeah. I mean, so I'm sort of dreading it. Sewing pants is hard.
Oh.
Like, harder than you think it would be.
Harder than the shirts you used to make?
Yeah, pants are harder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Your stories about making shirts sounded not fun.
Yes.
But they were super cute.
Bun Bun update. It's Bun Bun nap time. I mean, it's Sunday near noon when we're recording. So
yeah, last two times we went downstairs, Nora was like sticking her butt out the door, maybe acting as her own blackout curtain. And Asta is just near the stairs. Also doing that weird thing where like there's a level change. So like her back half is on one of the carpet squares and her front half is on the normal carpet, and that ridge doesn't seem to bother her.
Nope. She put in a lot of good work chewing some twigs earlier.
Yeah, she did.
She demolished some decent sized twigs within 5 minutes.
And she just wholesale eats the little ones, the littlest prongs.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Anything else?
I'm working on my D-Man collection now.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Chad at Gray Malkin Lane's episode about how awesome he is and what a queer icon he is.
Yes.
Even if he did go through a smelly phase.
Oh.
But we love him anyway.
Yeah.
And there's still a few inches of snow, so there's no real garden update except just general gratitude for the snow, because this whole winter has been so dry.
Yeah.
On the map of the U.S. for contiguous U.S. for states with the most dramatically warmed winter, we are at the top of the list.
Mm. It's been really unfortunate. I mean, I hate the snow. In the past week, I've had to snow blow 3 times.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to see it go and hopefully saturate the ground.
Yeah, because we have trout lilies that need to come up and pass flowers and... Oh, the bloodroot seeds we planted won't germinate until next spring of 2025.
Yeah.
But just to get the spring ephemerals out for all the emerging pollinators that will wake up from their naps and need a snack.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, comic stuff for me, I actually kept up with this week's comics when they came out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes me until like Monday of the following week to read all of them.
And I'll have assumed that you already read them, be like, did you know about this? And you're like, no, I haven't read it yet. I'm like, oh.
I know. It's just so hard with spoilers everywhere.
Everywhere.
X-Men 97 spoilers. Like, come on, people.
Like, there wasn't a whole lot left of that show that we hadn't seen.
Yeah, because we watched it Friday night.
Yeah.
So we can actually watch it together.
And in 2 days. The whole episode is online.
Yes. Like screen grabs and jokes about it and everything. It's like, can we please
just give it a few days?
Yeah.
But what has been given a few decades is Alpha Flight.
We're looking at issues 3 and 4. The first 12, I think we're just doing 2 issues.
Yeah, because I feel like they're so good.
Yes. And there's a lot of development and world building.
Yes. So on the cover of 3, it's, I don't know if it counts as iconic, but I really like this cover. It's got all these rods and bars sort of trapping Aurora in her like gasp face. And it's just, it's,
I think a lot of the covers from the beginning 12 issues are iconic. Like,
they're so good.
Yes. And it must have taken forever to draw this cover.
Right, and to get all the lines
without
accidentally like putting one pipe through another pipe.
Yeah
That's so good. And so we open not with Aurora but with Snowbird, and she's just flying around
good over some snow.
I like her character. Like this sort of like, is she a goddess? Is she not? Like, we don't quite know yet. What are her powers? And we find out that she has some sort of chrono-skimming power. Maybe not unlike Rachel Summers.
Interesting.
Because she finds the crash shuttle of Alpha Flights, and she can activate some sort of like, there's a timer on it. Like, she can't go so far. But the crash is within her limits where she can go back and she can see what happened. And the art is sort of neat. Like, it does the, not the whooshy, but like frames of the shuttle that you can see. And then the laser blast that is what downed it.
Yes.
And then you can also see Guardian, Sasquatch, and the twins popping out unharmed, if a little shaken.
But then that's basically where it ends until she transforms into a polar bear.
Yes.
So she can follow the tracks and the scent to this big open maw.
Yes. Of alien looking technology.
Yes.
Like, if it wasn't so orange and it was a little bit more green and gray, it might be Borg. Like that level of
tech.
Yes.
Yeah.
And over interwoven bits. Mm. So we get Sasquatch and Guardian. They are tearing through this tech.
Yes. So now we're in real time seeing where some of the people are.
Yes. Half a mile ahead. And a wall, we find out, has been erected unexpectedly, like the corridor shifted to separate the twins from Sasquatch and Guardian. And they do their hold hands and illuminate the dark hallway. And it goes on for a long, long way.
It's a very long hallway.
Yeah.
It, like, how deep does this ship go?
It goes deep. Very deep. Yeah, the twins take off, they go farther in, and North Star is knocked out by these like balls on the end of rods that suddenly come out because he's just a little bit ahead of her and he is conked out.
Yeah.
And
it reminds me of the Danger Room.
Yeah, it does have that vibe.
Yeah. But then Aurora starts getting the rods, like two of them come out, and she's like,
Aurora. And then a huge network comes, and even though she's super fast, like it, these rods are also fast.
Yeah.
And she's about to be impelled, like she has nowhere left to go, and Sasquatch just breaks everything.
Which, good, because she would have been like stabbed into small bits.
It's true. And all this trauma on Aurora has transformed her into Jean Marie. Jean Marie.
Oh, no.
So she thinks she is back in Quebec, and she's like, oh, I was just talking to Jean-Paul. What am I doing here? Why is my hair down? Why am I in this outfit?
Mm.
And Lankowski doesn't know this about her.
Oh, no.
So it's a
surprise.
Bit of a secret that Guardian has been holding back from the rest of the team, where it's just him and Northstar that know. I mean, maybe Heather, maybe. So.
And I'm trying to think of later Alpha Flight issues because I'm near the end of the run in my read through now. And when she's Jean-Marie, she has perfect English.
Yes.
When she's Aurora. No.
When she's Aurora, she has perfect English. When she's Jean-Marie, she has the funky accent.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, not in that text bubble.
The second text bubble. Yeah. She says I was, which is more German. But what's really confusing is that at a certain point, I forget which writer, like we'll get to it eventually, it flips. And I was like, what? Like,
which doesn't make sense. Like Jean-Marie, like that name is so French.
Yeah.
Like she, and it then, works in this book where that persona has the heavy accent when she's talking with Lankowski in a little bit.
Yes. At a certain point, Aurora speaks with the French accent.
Yes.
Which weird. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, did someone forget? And then they had to commit to it.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Nope.
So Northstar wakes up. He had been passed up by everyone. So
unfortunate that they didn't see his body just lying there.
Right. Maybe a corridor shifted.
Oh.
Because he hears a scream and he thinks that it's Aurora and starts speeding towards it, but actually it's Marina. She's like spread eagle, sort of like
she's like strapped down.
Like she's about to be drawn and quartered.
Yeah.
And there's this creepy dude. I mean, I like the with facial hair on him, it works with the mask, but he's being super creepy. And she's like, what are you doing to me? Please stop. Like, this is pain that I've never experienced before. I've done nothing to harm you. And he's like, this is not my doing. This is what you are destined for. I'm just a human. But from 40,000 years ago.
Yeah, so he explains his backstory.
So this is like humanity's migration across the Bering Strait into the Americas.
And he was going with his people And all of a sudden he started veering north alone. And
he was a great big jerk, and they kicked him out for being a great big jerk. He was heading south. Something drew him north.
And he passed by a bunch of other creatures on the same path that died.
Yeah, like similarly compelled, but they didn't make it. And he finds the big ship that they are now currently in, but it looks more recently crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks towards it, and these ropes come out and capture him and like
draw him into where Marina is currently strapped down.
Yes. And all the probes basically like strip everything off of him, like clothes, hair, flesh, everything.
Yeah.
Until just his mind remains. And then at some point it turned and he was able to control the machinery.
After like tens of thousands of years.
Yes. And he rebuilt his body. So he could have one at least.
I don't know how that happens. Like,
I mean, it's alien tech.
Yeah, true.
It's like it was learning about him as it dissected him.
Yes.
Vivisected him.
Both.
I don't know what the difference is. I thought one was while you're still alive and one is while you're dead.
Oh.
But he's explaining all this and how this is actually her ship and how
she was something that whoever created this tech in this ship launched out.
Yes.
Like she is a specimen that should have been, and that's why she showed up. Like she was activated, basically.
Yeah.
To go north to this thing just like he was.
Because remember, dear listener, she had disemboweled Puck when she first heard the call of this ship.
Yes.
And like was turned into a monster and compelled to go back and find it. So he's going off because he's the master of the world. It is therefore necessary that you and your broodmate, when I locate him, be destroyed so that I may last assume my rightful role for the hour of conquest.
And
that's the end of that. Oh.
You missed the big splash page that ends the story.
That's true.
We have two people bust in on this scene.
And they're not who I was expecting. I sort of like glossed over on this. I keep thinking it was an ad for another.
Or a pinup. Yeah.
But it's Namor and Sue Storm.
And.
Oh, she's got fuzzy boots.
And a furry collar. Like that look.
That's a good look.
It is. She has a good winter look.
Yes. Except it's called the Invisible Girl. I don't think she becomes the Invisible Woman until later, right?
Until she gives birth, basically.
Oh, that's rude.
Like the second time. Because I think Franklin is around at this point.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, eventually she's the Invisible Woman.
You're not an adult until you pop out a kid.
I mean, I'm glad I'm from the generation that's always known her as Invisible Woman.
Even if there was the boob window in the 90s?
Yeah.
And Namor in his little green trunks and his oddly shaped head and very arched eyebrows.
Yeah, so they're there to confront whoever this dude is.
This master of the world.
Yes.
So the story with that ends a little early because we get sort of these
backup stories.
Continuing the origins of Alpha Flight.
Yes.
Purpose is the subtitle on this one. And we get
is where we get the cringe story of the Hudsons and their relationship.
It is cringe because Heather is 17 at this point, but she is in love with Mac.
Yeah, that's sort of a John Byrne thing.
Underage women.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Yeah, like
I would love for it not to be so creepy and cringe.
Yeah, like. Nothing illegal or inappropriate happens with this story. It is just incredibly uncomfortable to read.
And if...
Like, even if you made her 18, would have been a better thing.
A lot better.
Yeah. I mean, he's still 10 years older than her.
And...
18-year-olds out there, your brains are not fully formed yet. Like, your brain...
I would love for my headcanon to be like, she's actually 23 in this.
Yeah.
Because she storms in, like, he's having his sad boy vibes. So, like, what is he going to do? He's unemployed.
Like, he stole his helmet and ran.
Yes. Although he is looking real good here with a little bit of stubble and, like, the top four buttons of his shirt undone.
Yeah.
Like, it's a deep cut. There's some chest hair sticking out.
It's a deep V.
And Heather comes in with some groceries and just sort of like railroads him a little bit of just like, hi, I got these. Like, I figured you'd be sad. And I've also figured that since you're a bachelor, you would have no food because you're basically a child and can't care for yourself.
And she's a child herself.
Yes. But she's not wrong because he has nothing in his cupboards or in his fridge. And she gives him some of the lowdown. And it's also weird that she's like, I have money in the bank and an indulgent daddy. If someone refers to their parent as daddy or mommy, they are not old enough to have a relationship with.
It's just so weird. Like, Byrne didn't need to make this creative choice. Didn't need to.
No.
They could have been the same age. And she could have done the exact same stuff in terms of, like, first of all, she's like the assistant to a higher exec in an oil company or whatever.
Also, how do you do that when you're 17?
Right. Like,
I don't know.
Maybe I'm with you. Maybe we just like headcanon she's 23.
Yeah.
Because to save up money, I worked a job when I was 17. I didn't save jack shit because you're not paid enough to save.
Right. And it's fine to be like, my family has money or whatever.
Yeah.
To be like, yes, here are your groceries. And she sort of recounts some of this stuff about what happened to the suit. And he's like, oh, yeah, so surprising to hear that.
Wow, I can't believe someone did that. They stole the
cybernetic helmet?
They destroyed blueprints? No way. Wow. Wowzers, no way.
But he sort of left his cybernetic helmet on the coffee table for her to find.
Mama, thank you for spilling.
And yeah, so he explains more of it and she's like, oh, I wouldn't think of it. Only a wife can't testify against her husband anyway.
This is so weird. Like, she's sort of entrapping him. Like, if you marry me, then I can't say anything.
Well, he was like, you need to leave. Like, don't look at that. Otherwise, you'll become an accessory.
It's very Gary Puckett in the Union Gap.
I don't know what that means.
Young girl, get out of my mind.
Ew.
Yeah. The song that they sang on Glee.
Oh. Oh, man. Okay.
You're much too young, girl.
So, Heather actually has a solution for it. This whole thing with the helmet. She brings him to someone in the government or a lawyer, and the lawyer's like, did you work on this helmet while you were in the employ of Ann Cam Oil? And he's like, no, I did this in college. And so legally his helmet is still his intellectual property. Like, it has nothing to do with Ann Cam. Am Can. It's a lot of vowels and consonants that are hard to say in the order.
Don't worry, Amcan will not stick around for very long because we're just going to concern ourselves with Roxxon by the 12th issue. So is this like an Alpha Flight logo?
It is.
Like a proto Alpha Flight logo?
Yeah, there's an A and it's got like the cap of it is red and the crossbar's red and the left stand is red.
To form the F.
So it's like Alpha Flight. And so this dude is like, congratulations, Dr. Hudson. The Canadian government will be happy to recompense AmCan for any incidental damages incurred whilst you collected your property. And you've been employed by us for 6 years retroactively. Mac is like, is that legal? And Heather, the smart one, is like, if I were you, Mac, I wouldn't ask. But that's how he gets the helmet and Department H. And then we get some more scientists working on his whole suit with all the little circuits and everything on it. And that's how we get Guardian, first of Alpha Flight, with a whole pinup page.
There's Wolverine. I can't believe you skipped over Marvel's greatest superhero of all time, Wolverine.
That must be present in every book ever.
Which it actually makes sense for him to be present here.
Yeah, it's sort of like a recap of Department H and developing plans. And since he was a Maverick, he needed to find other Mavericks. I don't know why that
Sarah Palin.
Did John McCain steal that word from Alpha Flight?
I can't see John McCain reading Alpha Flight.
True.
Like he was far too American.
So we get the excerpt about Wolverine being there, his greatest triumph and his greatest failure. And yeah, Fantastic Four's referenced in the paper, and therefore he gets the idea to make a team of Canadian superheroes.
Yay!
And there we go, that's Guardian.
And issue three. Issue four, another iconic cover that they homaged with the recent Alpha Flight.
Did they?
Yeah, I got that homage cover. It's in a stack of comics that have to be filed. That's our afternoon. Well, the current comics is like a whole other beast. Like,
oh, because everything is like miniseries on miniseries on miniseries.
And I don't know. This is an aside between issues. So, like, we get our weekly polls. And some people I know will, like, bag and board all their new comics. I don't. I just toss them into a box. Like, I order them. Like, yeah. Everything's organized, but I'm not bagging and boarding a bunch of comics. At a certain point, you get, like, tons of short boxes of recent comics, and you're like, what the holy hell do I do with these? Like,
yeah, I made my spreadsheet of what was in each box. Like, I had my own. Yeah. You helped me with my version of this. Of organizing everything, it's like all the Star Treks and then all the Star Trek Defiance and the annual, and like putting them in piles, hoping they would make sense.
Yeah.
And then putting that into a spreadsheet.
Yeah. It's just really tough because you're like, these are mass produced and they're recent. They're not worth any money. Like, what do you do with them aside from just store them?
Yeah.
And maybe they'll gain value. And then you'll pull it out and be like, oh, issue 3 or 4 of this miniseries was chewed by Nora.
She read it too.
Yes.
So at least they haven't read any of your older Alpha Flights.
True. I mean, Asta was going after the Outback run of Uncanny last night, but that's because it was on the arm of the couch and she likes jumping up there. So she is trying to tug them out of the way.
And
I was like, no, not this issue I just saw at Comic Book College.
I mean,
that's on the wall for like $40.
That's how she chewed my lamp cord and my beard trimmer.
She
charging cord.
She's just trying to get things out of her way.
Yeah.
She's not doing like Nora and Nick, I feel, will chew for chewing sake. Oh, the inflatable peep. As an example, that was still in its box.
And Nora pulled it out and ate a corner and nicked the inflatable thing. Also, the gigantic peep that your mom got that needs its own little lawn chair in the kitchen.
It's so fun. We stand peeps in this household.
There's a legit altar of peeps.
Yes. Some people for Easter really go all out for Jesus. We're here for the marshmallow candy. But you not the actual marshmallow candy, just like
the stuffed versions of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I need to go. I don't know if I'm working from home tomorrow. I don't know if I want to take break time to go clearance shop for candy. But that's when you can get good deals on Peeps. I refuse to pay full price on Peeps.
Oh. Would you ever do the Peeps diorama? Do we have friends that do the Peeps dioramas? I know people from high school who did.
I don't know what that is.
You make a little diagram with your in like a shoebox with peeps, and then you take a picture and send it in.
Oh,
yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
Oh,
but anyway, really? This afternoon we're organizing comics. Luckily, I have everything in piles, so we just have to like
so many piles.
We have to work our way to the short boxes,
yeah,
and do some filing.
So, issue 4.
Issue 4 opens with Sue Storm.
It does. She's operating the bathtub.
Yes.
The flying bathtub.
The Fantasticar.
Yes. She is following Namor, who's
flying with his little winged feet.
So similar to Snowbird, he has sensed a great evil. I'm sorry, dear listener. Asta just did an adorable roll flop and is like completely on her side.
Holding her pawsies in the air.
Yes.
Which is how you can tell a bunny is very content.
Having little bun dreams.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. Anyway, Namor sensed the same great evil that Snowbird did and is trying to figure out what is happening. I think there's an added piece that it's something that happened to his people, where either the same call compelled them to go and they died on the way, or they just died because of this thing, but he needs to investigate. And he asks Sue Storm to come along.
They're appearing in this book because John Byrne was writing Fantastic Four at the same time.
Really?
Yep.
No. So
writing and drawing.
They're chatting. Then we see something in the crosshairs. We think it's Sue's scanner. But then all of a sudden, that same laser blast that downed the Alpha Flight shuttle also is blowing up this Fantastic Four. But that's okay. Oh, it's a cliffhanger.
Yes. So that was us seeing how they got up north, basically. We're getting a couple pages setting the scene.
Yes. Snowbird in bear form registers the explosion. And there's a really cool line in here. It wonders in its slow bear way if this distant explosion is in some way connected to the wreckage it found earlier when it was not a bear. And it resolves in that instant that the time has come to be a bear no longer. Like, that's fun.
Yes.
I like that language.
I mean, the slow bear way is basically how we live our lives post-COVID. I mean, like,
as we're in our onesies on the couch.
I would like to hibernate.
Always.
Like, can I take a leave of absence from work but still get paid to just, like, hole up for a month somewhere with a bunch of comics and some tea?
I would like that. I guess also because I need to reread the Star Trek series. So she
the
goes flying.
One?
Yeah, the one about the gods with T'Lyr, a Vulcan of Starfleet.
Oh,
there was a cliffhanger involving him.
Well, you are working some extended hours this week.
Yeah,
maybe you can bring them along.
So Snowbird goes flying down the corridor looking for her teammates.
We see some of that team down one of those corridors.
Because Jean-Marie is not dealing well with being in a strange alien ship with a Sasquatch and a Guardian. And so Lankowski is like, I've known Aurora ever since you inducted me into Alpha Flight, and there's never been so much of a hint she was anything other than a free-spirited mamselle. Now she's turned into the complete opposite, almost in front of my eyes, and Guardian's like, don't worry about it. I don't have time to explain right now. So he makes a mistake of calling her Aurora.
Oh, that's like the worst thing you can call her.
Do not call me by that name. Take your filthy paws off me. And Garden's like, well, she should have known better. And the reader is like, yes, you should have. So Lankowski goes into his human form. Does he like his fur turns into his underwear that he wears? Like, Sasquatch doesn't have a loincloth.
No.
But he does it in his human form.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. Or why, because, I mean...
But we're here for a hunky Lankowski.
Yes. I mean, will that be a commission you eventually get?
Oh, who knows?
Hunky Walter Lankowski. Human form.
Is he looking for his glasses? Because he might walk past Jean-Marie without his glasses. But
he's like, hey girl.
He does find her, and Jean-Marie is like, that is not for me to say, monsieur. I am not in the habit of associating with naked men.
Girl, yes you are.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm hardly naked, I have underwear. And still she wants nothing to do with him. But like, he speaks slowly and softly, and that's calming. And slowly, oh so slowly, she remembers and then just whacks him across the face and calls him an animal.
No. At the same time, North Star is zooming down corridors trying to find anyone.
But Guardian finds him because Guardian's suit has keyed in a little bit into the ship and the ship's internal sensors. And with that, he was able to find North Star and be like, we gotta go. Yeah, Aurora is okay, sort of.
She's alive at the very least.
Yeah. And then we cut to Sue being picked up by Namor. She did her invisible shield because she's awesome. And they land, and Namor's even like, the ice is evil.
No.
Something is wrong. And so she makes a bubble, and he pushes her.
Yeah, they go down into the ice. So she's in like this fun little invisible bubble with enough air.
And then they find a port in the ship.
Like they go up, the water. Up into it.
Yes. And that's how they get to the control chamber to try and rescue Myrina from
the master.
Yes. And Namor is like real weird about being invisible. And she was like, it's fine. You get used to it.
Namor gets real weird about a whole lot.
Like, I don't know if it's just like male ego pride being like, oh, a woman's power is hiding me from sensors and helping me. Yeah. So the master of the world gives us some more context about there is this planet of beings and they basically harvested their whole world and created these colonizing ships and kept colonizing system after system after system, where the ship would find a planet and it's like
infancy.
Yes. It'll land in the most inhospitable area of the planet. It'll grow, draining elements and resources from the soil, the water, the air. And within 100 years, the ship has ceased to be a ship. It is a massive colonization complex. So it sends out its beacon, and the strongest organisms on the planet will survive and walk into it, and it'll do its...
like deconstruction of them.
Yes. And create all these little egg things that it shoots out. Thousands of little eggs. Which is so weird.
So it's breeding.
Yeah. The egg pairs are ejected, fired on ballistic paths that will carry them to every corner of the doomed planet. Not all will survive their hatching. Not all will find their mate and be able to breed, but there are millions. But we find out that one of the star drives exploded on this particular ship and made it crash and shoot out all of its eggs early.
Premature ejaculation.
Yes. It jizzed all over.
Yeah.
Too soon. And because it was Gladys Smallwood that opened Myrina's egg, that imprinted the humanness onto it.
Yes.
But also the egg was underwater for so long, so that's why she's amphibious.
Sure.
Like those two things combined, I guess.
I guess that's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how the egg became water permeable. So yeah.
And that's the story of Myrina, and brings us from. And brings, because this was basically like a long villain monologue.
It was such a long villain
and monologue. He's like, well, you're basically the only one that's come here.
Yeah.
Who knows? So I guess I'll have to do something with you since I'm supposed to.
I don't know why Sue Storm wants more explanation, but she says you've got a lot more explaining to do than that sci-fi opus. A lot more. As she and Namor reveal themselves and come to Myrina's rescue.
Some tendrils reach out to try to entrap them.
I guess the master has like this mechanical, like the ship is acting like his brain, like it's with his very thought.
Yeah.
He can influence it.
Yes.
So Namor is struggling against a claw. Sue has some force fields keeping some tendrils at bay. And the probes start again on Myrina. But what comes from a vent? It's a horde of mosquitoes.
Oh, we know who that is.
It's Snowbird.
Because mosquitoes are creatures of Canada.
Fun fact, Sasquatch is not the only one with strength as she shatters that shackle.
Yeah.
Like this, there's a future issue that makes me also a gigantic fan of Snowbird, but this is also amazing.
Yes.
And I think Demanda does a Snowbird.
Maybe.
Because there's a dumb headpiece.
There is a really dumb headpiece.
But it looks so good on Snowbird. Yeah.
I mean, we already know who Demanda is appearing as from the team at Uncanny this fall.
That's true. Is that a secret? Come to see for yourself when you come to the Uncanny Experience.
People really should come to the Uncanny Experience because there's going to be some Alpha Flight content.
Yes, in addition to like
everyone else. Yeah. I mean, yes. Gail Simone, by all accounts, I saw Chad from Grey Malkin post about it. He went to a panel that she did yesterday at WonderCon, and like her obvious love for X-Men and everything was on full display. So
nice.
Yeah.
And Leah Williams will be there.
Yeah. Chris Claremont.
Yes.
Which you just got a Son of Satan to get signed by him.
I did. So Snowbird rescues Marina. They start destroying tech, and Master of the World is like, okay, bye. He's like little.
And he like launches. He has like a throne that's also a hover.
Like it's those big industrial tracks. And it's just whooshing backwards away from everyone. So North Star and Guardian blow up stuff by the reactor, and they find everyone. Poor Jean-Marie is like carried around by Sasquatch under his arm, basically.
And she's fighting it.
Yeah. But also Jean-Marie wants nothing to do with North Star either. But they all need to go. They can tell that the Master has left the building, and they get out just in time for sort of an awesome, like, is it double splash page?
It's a double page spread.
But there's four panes, hot dog style.
Yes.
Of the flat ice.
We call that horizontal.
Oh, whatever.
Horizontally, so you can see like the flat plane of like it's just the North Pole.
There's some rumblings and then a gigantic explosion and then like all these icebergs that have calved due to the explosion. And that's the issue. There's no
special story. This isn't it's not the whole issue. We have two pages left.
Oh. The invisible woman has kept everyone safe in a snow globe.
Yes. They float to the surface.
Namor and Marina do some recon, and it's as if the whole ship has, like, there's no wreckage. The whole ship has just disintegrated. So
Marina seems back to normal.
Yeah, she goes off with Namor to, like, he invited her to see his realm.
Like, let's go to Atlantis.
Live your best watery life.
Yes.
And she's like, okay. So North Star flies off with Jean-Marie. I don't know why she's not flying. Oh, because she is Jean-Marie, and yes, she refuses to fly and use her mutant abilities.
Yep.
And then Guardian's carrying Sasquatch, although you'd think he'd be lighter as Lankowski.
Yeah, kind of rude.
But there would be a wind chill.
Oh.
If he only has a loincloth.
Yeah, he needs that fur.
Yeah. And then they'd stop by the incestuous island that Marina grew up on. Why do they have to make it incestuous?
Incestuous Island sounds like a Netflix series.
It's so weird.
Like there's Squid Game and Incestuous Island.
Did John Byrne just really love Canada? Like for some of the language that's used for the provinces, like the rugged rocky coast of Canada's youngest province, Newfoundland. Which I don't think is true anymore. I think none of it is the youngest province now.
Yeah, none of it was just a territory.
Part of Northwest Territory.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So they stop by.
Break the news to her foster brother?
/ love interest?
Love interest, but they're related, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't... I feel like in this sense, it doesn't matter if you're not related by blood.
Yeah.
You're raised in the same family as if you were siblings.
Yeah. John Byrne emigrated to Canada when he was 8.
Okay.
He's originally from England.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's issue 4.
And I think that's the last time we see her brother.
Oh. That's fine. The less incest in comics, the better.
Yes. So we got some development. This is setting things up. The Master seems like the first big bad.
And the Master got away.
Yes. And the Master will keep getting away.
Oh.
He's a presence. Like, a lot of things happening in these first issues may not be prominent in the future, but they will keep coming back.
Okay.
So,
And we have some fun development with Jean-Marie / Aurora and why Northstar is so protective and what went down between Aurora and Lankowski.
Yeah.
So
many questions.
Yeah. And looking forward to more origin stories too.
Yes. I think we'll get back to that maybe next issue.
I think so. I think it's every other for a while.
Okay.
But yeah, great issues, except for the underage thing.
Yeah. Their story, though, like, in terms of how they got together.
Yeah.
I think is intriguing. Like,
it's well written.
Yes.
And, like, the team stuff is good.
Yes. It's just the weird age thing.
Yeah.
But
Snowbird got some good highlights in here.
Yeah. So we saw them battle like an elemental creature.
Yes, one of the
great beasts.
Great beasts.
And now it's been some sort of caveman turned spaceman.
Yeah.
So a good cast is assembling.
Yes. A solid foundation.
Yes.
Okay, dear listener, let us know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, and we will catch you next time here on the X-Factor Files podcast.
Stay warm.
Bye.